which was to be performed by a different worker or group of workers. I argue that the phenomenon of women cutters and assemblers has to do with the nature of their work. Cutting and assembling were such that women could hold these jobs without upsetting the patriarchal system. This work involved skills associated with domestic labor, it hid the accomplishments of the worker, and it placed the worker in a subordinate position. Cutting and assembling involved skills associated with domestic labor, which is traditionally performed by females. Rosalind Baxendale et al. Point out that, quote, much of the paid work that women do is an extension of their family work, sewing, cleaning, supporting, restoring, caring, end quote. Cutting and assembling, like sewing, are detail work involving attaching things together and requiring much patience. Booth recalled that cutting negative film by eye, having to match the action, quote, was very tedious work. Close-ups of Lily and Gish and Orphans of the Storm would go on for miles, and they'd be very similar. In trades carried on as family industry during the transition to capitalism, processing raw materials and finishing the end product were women's tasks. In the cutting rooms of the film industry, women continued this traditional separation of labor roles by sex, finishing off and polishing the director's work. Cutters were to proofread the films, watching for unintentional inconsistencies in details, for example, in dress. This is from a book by Anita Luce and John Emerson. Starting the hero downstairs in white shoes and letting him arrive at the bottom in stacks. Cutters cleaned up and restored. Their job was to create a coherent whole out of thousands of feet of film. Most feature films were 5 to 7 reels in length, one reel consisting of approximately 1,000 feet. The cost efficiency study of the motion picture industry in 1916 recommended limiting the amount of footage shot to twice the anticipated length of the finished film, but acknowledged that directors had been known to shoot up to 6 times as much film as the length of the edited negative. Other sources report that directors exposed anywhere from 20,000 to 100,000 feet of raw film for a 5 to 7 reel film, and up to 200,000 feet for a 10 reel film. Refining 20 to 200 reels of film down to 5 to 10 reels was no easy task, and shooting practices in the silent period did not make it any easier. Most scenes were shot with only 1 or 2 cameras. Only scenes in especially expensive production or in large and spectacular sets might be photographed from many angles. For example, at the Chaplin Studios, 3 cameras were used for every scene. Cecil B. DeMille had 4 cameras photographing the attack on a fortress in his Joan the Woman, 1917. The lack of variety in camera angles and distances from the subject, long, medium, close-up shots, made it difficult for cutters to create coherent, exciting films. In addition to, quote, matching scenes, inserting close-ups, flashes, and titles, creating suspense, covering up plot inconsistencies, bad acting, and the absence of necessary shots, cutters had to avoid offending the star, the director, or the author. Directors might have favorite shots, actors might appear only in certain scenes, and writers might object to changes in plot or emphasis. Cleaning up and finishing, being tactful with others and patient with involved detail work, cutters could use their homemaking skills in extreme roles. For patriarchy to survive, women's efforts must remain invisible. Quote, many of the services that women provide, unlike products, are not readily apparent to the public or to themselves, unquote. The cutting of Hollywood narrative films, the finishing of a product, is also by definition and intention invisible. Quote, the purpose of editing was to cover its traces, unquote. Despite the skill and creativity involved in cutting, films bore and still bear, most conspicuously, the names of male directors and producers, cutters or editors' names appearing, if at all, in small print along with the technicians. Editor Ralph Rosenblum, who began his career in the 1940s, feels that this happens because acknowledging the cutter's or editor's contribution would, quote, cut too close to the heart of the director's importance, unquote. Rosenblum describes the personality of the career editor as, quote, one of modest ambition and little urge for personal credit, unquote. I guess you have to take into account that he's an editor himself, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Whether or not the women cutters of the silent feature film period wanted personal credit, they did not receive it. Elizabeth Pickett, after writing and directing her own short, two-reel film, King of the Turf, in Kentucky, was permitted to edit and title John Ford's Kentucky Pride, 1925, which he based on her film. Contemporary filmmaker Shirley Clarke notes that, quote, women have been editors for years, They've also allowed women to write films, so the original idea is a woman's as well as the finished product, but she gets no equal credit. The subordinate nature of the cutting job made this position permissible for women. Rosenblum explains that women working as cutters did not threaten patriarchal relations. This is what he says. Trained from childhood to think of themselves as assistants rather than as originators, they found in editing a safe outlet for their genius, and directors found in them the ideal combination of aptitude and submission. In the earliest years of the feature film, directors cut their own film. Until Clarence Brown took over in 1915, director Maurice Turner had been cutting his own film. Articles about studios in 1915 and 1916 mentioned divisions set aside, quote, for the exclusive use of the directors when cutting down the production, unquote. By 1917 and 1918, directors were supervising cutting. Screenwriter Peter Milne wrote in 1922, quote, while cutting and editing are not exactly part of the director's duties, he exercises a certain amount of supervision over the process, unquote. These directors were nearly all men. A list of 346 directors of silent film includes the names of only 8 women. Women could be cutters because they were subordinate to male directors, thereby fitting into the patriarchal societal order. The ultimate illustration of this is the relationship of Josephine Lovett and John Robertson. At work, she wrote and cut the films he directed. At home, they were husband and wife. Associated with domestic labor, an inconspicuous and subordinate position, cutting was a low-status job. When in the Soviet Union in 1922, Esther Shu began editing untitled foreign and pre-revolutionary Russian film, quote, she brought intelligence, taste, and a sense of social responsibility into this generally despised employment, unquote. Here in the United States in 1922, Andrews recommended assembling and cutting as ways of, quote, breaking into the movies. He went on to say, once inside the studio as a worker in any capacity, there is no telling what the result may be if you are really qualified to do other and more important work, unquote. Cutting was a dead-end job, a way for industry to exploit the skills and ideas of creative women without upsetting the patriarchy. In Hartman's analysis of capitalism and patriarchy, she concludes that a patriarchal system existed prior to the development of capitalism. Before capitalism, men controlled women's labor in the family production unit. With the emergence of capitalism, men had difficulty maintaining their control over the labor power of women. Quote, a direct personal system of control was translated into an indirect, impersonal system of control mediated by society-wide institutions. Unquote. One means of maintaining the dominant position of men without hindering the growth of capitalism was to segregate women from men in the labor market, assigning women only to certain aspects of the divided labor process. The jobs women could hold were, quote, lower paid, considered less skilled, and often involved less exercise of authority or control, unquote. I was unable to find any evidence pertaining to cutters' wages, but the rest of the statement does indeed describe the position of the silent feature film cutter. Cutting, although it involved dexterity and creative judgment, was considered a low-status job. Given little or no credit for their efforts, cutters performed work similar to domestic labor under the supervision of males. The woman film cutter fit safely into her patriarchal society.
Letter to the Democratic Party. I reluctantly become a contributor.
Exercise 1, French lesson. Je vais parler. Je suis en train de parler. Je viens de parler. I am going to speak. I am learning to speak. I am able to speak. L'heure. Il est 1 heure. Il est 3 heures. Il est 9 heures. Il est midi ou minuit. Il est 1h15. Il est 3h30. Il est 9h moins le 4. Il est midi 20. Il est midi 20. Ou minuit 20. Il est midi. Je dînerai à 7h du soir. Mais je vais déjeuner à midi 1h15. Jeanne, ton réveil vient de sonner. 7 heures. Allons, levez-toi, tout de suite. Allons, début. Il est trop tôt, maman. J'ai encore sommeil. Je vais me lever tout à l'heure. Non, Jean, tu n'as pas le temps. Tu vas arriver en retard à l'école. Enfin, Jean s'est levé. Il vient de faire sa toilette. Il est en train de prendre son petit déjeuner. 8h04. Bientôt, on va fermer les portes de l'école. Allons, Jean, marche vite. Vite. Encore une minute. Encore une seconde. Dans un moment, tu vas trouver les portes fermées. Ah, tu arrives à temps, quand même. Il est 8h juste. Au revoir. Jeune, bonne journée. Et demain, lève-toi à l'heure. En demi-heure, c'est la même chose de 30 minutes. Ou un quart d'heure. C'est la même chose de 15 minutes, 15 minutes. Tôt is the same thing as tard, which is late. Il est juste midi. Il est à peu près midi. C'est la même chose. It is almost midday. It is almost noon. Or midnight. Le sommeil. Pierre avait sommeil. C'était the same thing as il avait envie de dormir. Ou il voulait dormir. Maintenant, il dort. Le sommeil is sleep. Pierre is asleep. He has gone to bed, or he has gone to sleep. Il voulait dormir. I don't know what that means. Now he sleeps. He wants to go to bed. Now he sleeps. I think that's what it means. Je revois demain. À l'école, Jean reverra ses camarades. I recall, yesterday at school, Jean saw his comrades. Oh, I see. Je revois, I saw. La phrase française. Qui vois-tu? Je vois Pierre. Who do you see? I saw Pierre. Qui attends-tu? J'attends Marie. Que dis-tu? Je dis mon nom. Que fais-tu? Je fais un gâteau. À quoi? À qui parles-tu? Je parle à Jean. Avec qui joues-tu? Je joue avec Paul. À quoi penses-tu? Je pense aux vacances. Avec quoi joues-tu? Je joue avec un bal. Avec quoi joues-tu? Est-ce que tu as une montre, Pierre? Non, je n'ai pas de montre. J'ai une cloche, a clock, je vais dire clock. Quelle heure est-il? Il est minuit moins un quart. À quelle heure vas-tu déjeuner? Je vais déjeuner dans une quart d'heure. Je vais déjeuner à 9h moins un quart. Tu vas déjeuner tout à l'heure, à juste 8h. Il va déjeuner à midi. I don't know what that one requires. He goes to his meal at une quatre à midi et une quatre. Il va déjeuner à midi un quatre moins un à midi un 9h et moins une quatre. You will eat at. Let us eat. Nous avons déjeuné à 3 heures. Let us eat at 3 o'clock. Vous avez déjeuné à midi et 10 minutes. Ils ont déjeuné à they will have dinner at ils ont déjeuné à 10 heures. Moi, je viens de finir mon repas. Mon assiette est sale. Toi aussi. Tu as de finir. I am going to finish my. I have finished. I am going to finish my meal. My service is dirty. You also. You must finish. Tu as fini. Tu as de finir. You have to finish. Tu as de finir. Marie aussi a de finir. Marie also has to finish. Nous avons de boire toute l'eau. We drank all the water. La bouteille est finie. The bottle is finished. Elle aussi. They also. Elle aussi on de boire leur eau. Les glaces sont vides. The glass is empty. Je viens de déjeuner. Tu vas de déjeuner. Il va de déjeuner. Elles vont de déjeuner. Vous avez de déjeuner. Ils ont de déjeuner. Nous avons de déjeuner. Repeat lesson one, the last part of it I didn't understand that well. This is lesson two. L'année, les mois, les saisons, je préfère. the year, the month, the seasons, I prefer. Dis-moi, Paulette, iras-tu en France l'année prochaine? Non, j'y suis allée déjà l'année dernière. Pendant les vacances, au mois de juillet, il faisait beau et très chaud. Il ne pleut jamais à Paris en été, mais si il pleut quelquefois, mais la pluie ne dure pas longtemps. Pendant que j'étais à Paris, il a plu seulement 3 fois. Tell me, Paulette, were you in France last year?
No, I came just before the end of last year, during the vacation of the month of July. It was beautiful and very warm. It never rains in Paris. Does it ever rain in Paris in the summer? Perhaps. It rains sometimes, but the rain does not last for a long time. Pendant que j'étais à Paris, il a plu seulement trois fois. When I was in Paris, it rained only three times. Livre, the winter. Le printemps is the spring. Mais en automne et en hiver, il fait mauvais et il pleut souvent. Alors, il fait humide et il y a du brouillard. Quelquefois, en janvier ou en février, il neige et il fait très froid. Les oiseaux sont malheureux. Ils ont faim et froid jusqu'au printemps. Ils n'aimaient pas l'hiver. Ils préféraient la saison chaude. Heureusement, le printemps vint après l'hiver et l'été vint avant l'automne. But in autumn and in winter, it's bad. It rains often. Then it is humid, and one is brouillard. One is uncomfortable, I guess. Sometimes in January and or in February, it snows and it is very cold. The birds are unhappy. They are hungry and cold. Until spring, they do not like the winter. They prefer the warm seasons. Happily, the spring comes after April, after winter, and summer arrives before autumn. En France, il ne neige jamais en juillet. C'est au moins du juillet. Mais il fait toujours froid en décembre. En été, il pleut quelquefois, mais en hiver, il pleut souvent. In France, it never snows in July, or during the month of July. But sometimes it is cold, but it is always cold in December. In summer, it sometimes rains, but in winter, it rains more often. L'année dernière, c'est la même chose l'année prochaine. Last year, the next year. Toujours, jamais, always, never. Je préfère, j'aime mieux, I prefer, I like better. Cette âme est malheureuse, une malheur est arrivé dans sa famille. That man is unhappy, a unhappiness came to his family. Cette âme est heureuse, il a du bonheur. That man is happy, he has happiness. Préférer, the verb to prefer. Je préfère, tu préfères, il préfère. Nous préférons, vous préférez, ils préféreront. J'ai préféré hier. Je préférerai demain. I prefer, tu préfères, you prefer, il préfère, he prefers. Nous préférons, they prefer. Vous préférez, you prefer the poor. Ils préféreront, they prefer, masculine. J'ai préféré hier. I prefer winter. Je préférerai demain. I will prefer tomorrow. I will prefer tomorrow.
That seems everybody says fine, there's interdependence, there's a sharing. But if you continuously show Black and East Indian children an image of a society or individuals that they can never be, then you have a negation of themselves. So that what has happened is that the television programs that are transplanted are designed for a culture that is concerned about fried chicken, about having certain kinds of bubble gum. So that for people there, what does this do? It simply transforms their food habits. So people who get used to eating rice and fish suddenly develop a craving for French fried potatoes and fried chicken, which changes their food habits. So that
communication changes the buying patterns of nations as well.
Absolutely. I think that we have constantly, I think in the UN report, I think we have tended to neglect the fact that there is money in communication, big, plenty money. And therefore, it becomes necessary to penetrate the communication system. One interesting thing, I think, Tran mentioned this to me, in when President Nixon left and went to China, the one thing he left behind was this enormous communications technology. Because the communications technology, to a large extent, can affect how your body politic functions and thinks.
So in addition to television programs being marketed to these countries, are you saying that Western companies continue to have their commercials laid in as well?
Certainly, if you look at the Caribbean, where they have a lot of these commercials that are integrated with the program. So that you see, the commercials, sometimes one of the difficulties with most programming is to distinguish between the commercial and the program. So that there is an integration between the commercial and the program. And in the context of the third world countries, it means changing their political, cultural, and intellectual habits.
Professor Van Den, did we see a similar situation in countries like Vietnam, Southeast Asian countries, that were under Western influence?
I think during the war, it's been from 1955 until 1975, Saigon is almost like any kind of the city we see in this country, even worse because there's drugs, televisions and all this. Now, it's a very different situation. Now there's a little of television, but purely experimental and educational. But to go back to the programming, I would like to quote from an address by Sarah Power. She was a deputy assistant secretary at the Economic Club of Detroit on December 5, 1980. She said, and I quote her, "Even entertainment is affected by the communication revolution, as anyone can attest who has enjoyed an evening of Kojak on the Surinamese television or a John Wayne movie in Jakarta." The economic implication is very interesting. She admitted that indeed there's hardly any segment of the US economy which is not directly affected by communication and increasingly dependent for its well-being on international communication. So this, in my opinion, is a question. The Western transnational cooperation and communication cannot exist or cannot make profit without imposing the new taste, new product on the third world. The third world, of course, have two choices, either take it or leave it. Usually you have in the third world a group of people who say that, well, let's take it and have a look at that. Buy the technology, we train our people, and later on we can improve and get rid of the dependency from the US or West Germany or France. But the problem is very different. As anyone knows, the technology or communication is extremely expensive. When you get hooked into that, it's almost like a drug. Either you have to escalate and buy it, or you have to destroy your own program. Mm-hmm. The second one, which is very important. Suppose now you want to produce a program which is good. It costs perhaps $500,000. And then it's come out of very well. And here come a contract attaché from a Western embassy. He said that, sir, you can send a better program like I Love Lucy, very entertaining and all this. Well, $100, that's a gift to your country. You show it, say that, well, it's only $100. Why spend $500,000 to make a bad program? And when your people get hooked on this, you again, under the drug, you have to buy more of this program. So I think we have to look at the information problem today in the world as another form of decolonization. And I remember vividly what happened in Bandung in 1955, when the whole conference was disappointed to know that both drugs and cannon club. The later one, you have Richard Bryan, you have Clayton Powell Jr. But why the world at that time, in 1955, so much want Bundrosen? I think the reason is very simple. It's had something to do with international communication. He was the first colored man who bring out the reality of the colonized people, and also the first colored man plus Nehru who actually opposed Nazism. Mm-hmm. Well, as you all know, that in this country, we fought the war in Japan first, only later in Germany. And there's a book on crime and punishment of the IG Farben, which showed the complicity of transnational cooperation in this country with the Nazi regime. So the Akbandu, which is the beginning of the whole question of MacBride commissions and UNESCO, we begin to look at the black community in this country as what we call in French, a cube.